So when I was 18, in the summer of 2003, I moved out of my parents' house. It's the first time I was out on my own, and I remember those first moments, this little bunk bed. We've got a picture here, I think, maybe, of just in a bunk bed. But I remember kneeling down on this bunk bed because I felt so alone. I didn't know hardly anybody in the town I was in. And that was the first time in my life I'd felt like that level of loneliness, I think. And I remember kneeling down at that bottom bunk, and my roommate wasn't around, nobody's around, and saying, "Geez, I guess it's just you and me now." That's what I said. And I felt really lonely and really sad and kind of scared. And when I knelt and said, "I guess it's just me and you now, Jesus," there was this peace. So like that was going to be enough. And I didn't know hardly anybody in that town, but it was this very blessed season of my life. And it really was enough to just be there with Jesus. And I bring that up, and that whole memory was on my mind, because this week I had this moment where I felt, and emotions aren't always logical, you know. There was not a logical reason to feel super lonely this week, but I had this time in my car. In the past, I've not been much of a tearful guy, but at this time in the car, I was basically crying, just feeling very alone in the work that was to be done here at Maywood and in life. And I think it brought back this memory of being 18 and feeling so lonely. And it brought back that memory of peace, that in the midst of all that loneliness, you can go to Jesus. And we're starting a new season at Maywood, focusing on Jesus these next few months. Hopefully we're doing that all the time, but specifically these next few months. And today I want to talk to you about having Jesus be the heart of your existence, is the language that Henry Nouwen would use. But what he means is that your everything, your core, is wrapped up in Jesus, to where it's enough to say it's just me and you, and that's enough for you. It doesn't mean that you're closed off to any other friendships or any other relationships, but where you're going to be okay as long as you've got him. And I want to read you a quote from Henry Nouwen. We're going to be looking through this little book of his. I'm not going to make you guys read. I'll do the reading for you and just give you some quotes. But we're going to be looking through it over the next few months, Letters to Mark About Jesus. And this is something Henry tells his nephew. He says, "A lot of people have to expend so much energy on overcoming their low opinion of themselves, like they feel so bad about who they are, that they seldom get around to asking about the purpose of their existence. And if they do, it's often out of fear." What Henry Nouwen is saying is that most people have such a low self-esteem or bad opinion of themselves, however they cover it up, that they don't have the energy to actually ask, like, what's the purpose of my life? And I can tell you from being the pastor here at Maywood, and I've gotten to know people in other parts of the world and other cities and stuff, us as a group, there's a lot of low self-esteem when we're really honest. There's a lot of self-doubt. There's a lot of "I'm not good enough." And some of our most confident folks like are struggling with that, like when you really get to know them, right? And it's so hard to build up a life that's a good life when the kind of inner pillars are so shaky, right? And I'm talking kind of vaguely here, but my guess is there's a whole lot of people in the room that know what I'm talking about. Like, it's hard to ever get your head above water enough to think, where should I be going? What's this all for? Because you're just trying not to drown, right? And so you're doing the job and you're doing this thing with these other people and stuff just to try to feel good for that day, or to keep some sort of storyline going that you're a good man or a good woman or you're strong or whatever. But sometimes, just like little lonely 18-year-old Jake, sometimes stuff gets bad enough for you or shakes you up enough that finally you do say, out of fear, like, what's it all about? Or God, please help. Which might sound like really different questions, but they actually lead you probably to similar answers if you'll listen. And so sometimes out of fear, we will come to God with real openness of like, God, I need you. And that's, I think, why so much at Maywood, it's so easy for people to get started and hard for people to finish, is that when we have our circumstances going a little bit better and we're not immediately struggling, then it's hard to keep Jesus as the heart of our existence. It's hard to keep Jesus at the core. Things get a little bit easier, suddenly it's hard to walk with him. And so today, I want to talk to us about a couple passages, maybe even three if we get there, of Scripture. But this first one, it really gets to that inside condition. And how do we have an inside condition that's not built on fear, but an inside condition that's built on trust and confidence in Jesus? Because a lot of us are like flailing for confidence, and it's through some sort of source other than Jesus. And whether it lasts for a month, or for a day, or for 10 years, like, if your confidence is rooted in something other than Jesus, it's going to fall apart on you. It's going to break. And so I want to read you an amazing passage of Scripture. It's in Jeremiah. I know some of you are like, uh-oh, Jeremiah. Like, I don't even know where to find that in my Bible, right? Well, it's a fairly big book. It's kind of in the middle. You can always use your table of contents. It's neighbors with Isaiah. Jeremiah is this prophet. And sometimes people get this idea that, like, if I really follow Jesus, I'm going to have a happy life. The whole book of Jeremiah is a good testament to, like, things, you might have a really sad, hard go if you do exactly what Jesus wants you to do. Jeremiah has a really hard life. But he's faithful. And I would say, obviously, it works out for Jeremiah. But Jeremiah has this insight that he shares with us about confidence. And we're going to start Jeremiah chapter 17. Please read along with me. It's great. Don't be shy about highlighting or marking in your Bible, writing what God's telling you. So Jeremiah is a prophet. He's speaking for God. He says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. So he says, here's a curse, like the opposite of blessing, the opposite of good. And that's when you trust in people. We've all been disappointed by somebody, but some of us take that disappointment and think, like, well, I'm just going to trust myself. Well, like, you're still a person, right? Like, you're going to, even if it's just yourself, you're going to let yourself down, right? So if your strength comes from other people or even just from yourself, this is saying you're cursed. And it's easy to say, like, oh, yeah, I know that. I've heard a few sermons before. Like, I've already heard this. But where does your strength come from? When you're tired or sad or lonely or discouraged, like, who is your refuge? And I'm not saying, like, you can't hug your sister or go cry with your mom or something like that. I'm not saying you can't have any human relationships. But really check in your own heart. Like, when things aren't going well, do you just try to make yourself super busy? You're always listening to stuff and you don't spend any alone time? Or do you try to find comfort in food or refuge in some sort of money or success? Because where you're finding your refuge at, where you're getting your strength from, is going to have an effect. Verse 6 describes the effect. That person that trusts in other people, or even in themselves, that person will be like a bush in the wastelands. Have that little withered leaves, branches there for us. They will not see prosperity when it comes. Isn't that a sad line, right? They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. So this is saying, even when good times come, this person will be on the outside or left out. It's like house values go through the roof, but you don't own a house, right? You're like, well, you're like, this doesn't help me at all, right? Like, it's like when good times come, you're on the outside of it if you've trusted in people. Verse 7. But blessed, right, the opposite. Blessed is the one who trusts in, what does it say, the Lord, whose confidence is in him. There's a difference between confidence and pride. Pride has to do with like, I'm good enough on my own, or even I'm better is really what pride is getting. I'm better than someone else. Confidence here is different, right? It's this confidence if I know who God is, so I can be bold because of him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not, what word there? Doesn't fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no what? Worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. It's a pretty amazing descriptor, right? Like right away, we're like, I want to be that tree by the river, right? But if you pay attention to what's going on in your own heart, I mean, sometimes we're just using our thumb and cell phone, Instagram, or whatever, and you just never think about what's going on inside of your own heart. But if you pay attention, there's a lot of worry and a lot of fear. This passage is saying, like, you're not rooted in God. We don't have to freak out and think, like, wait, I'm a Christian, I believe the right things, or I'm going to heaven. Like, that's not exactly what I'm saying. It's the relational connection leads to confidence and freedom from fear, freedom from worry. It leads to this vibrance. Like, think about a tree with green leaves. When I'm in the garden at my house, if I'm trying to figure out if a plant is healthy or not, like, the first thing I look at is, like, the leaves, right? If a plant's getting dry, if you're paying attention to it, like, the leaves look different, right? They kind of get crunchy, right? They get a little shrunk. There's a lot of us walking around a little bit crunchy, right? Like, a little bit, like, there's not enough just joy and love and goodness inside of us, right? Like, if you follow me around all this last week, right, there's crunchy moments, right, where I'm not patient enough as a dad, where I'm angry about something that happened a month ago that I'm not doing anything about today, right? Like, those are crunchy moments where it's like, where's the source of that? It's not rooted in God's living water, right? Never fails to bear fruit. So we want this. We want to be blessed. We want to trust in God. We want to have confidence in him. How many people are like, yes, I want to do that? Let's raise our hand, right? We can all participate, right? So some of you didn't raise your hand. I'm glad you're in the room, right? Like, I don't understand, but I'm glad you're here. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Here's the thing that's a really good thing, I think, is we don't have to fix ourselves. We don't have to fix ourselves. I'm not saying you don't have any role to play, but you're going to have like a sidekick role in this mission, right? Like, Jesus is going to have to be the hero, and you're just going to have to stay close to his side, right? So flip to this next screen. This is just, we're going to start talking about July through September. Jesus, we want to be captivated by who Jesus is. We want to get to the spot where we don't want to turn away from Jesus, where we want to keep looking at him. Because a lot of times we see some sort of problem in our life and we think like, oh, I'm being too frustrated with my kids, or I'm being too tempted by meth, or I can't keep a job. And we look at these outside problems and we start trying to work on those. And it's okay to work on those things. But if you're not working on the inside condition, like, you're not going to have success on the outside problems. Like, they're going to keep popping up. It's like a whack-a-mole game. And like, how many quarters do you have, right? Like, how many years of your life do you want to spend whack-a-mole on the same stuff, right? You got to unplug the machine, right? You got to change something different, right? For us, like, we have to get to a spot where we're saying, like, Jesus, I want to spend time with him. I'm captivated by him. So I'm going to take us to another passage of scripture, but first I want to read you another quote from Henry Nouwen. So Henry Nouwen says, it's become clearer to me than ever that my personal relationship with Jesus is the heart of my existence. Earlier, this is Henry Nouwen. He's a guy that writes books about Jesus, spends a lot of time talking about Jesus. But he, right before this, in this letter, he's talking about, my life had gotten so busy and I'd gotten so focused on all these problems that Jesus had moved to the background in my life. and maybe had even just become another problem. And some of you in the room are in that same spot that Henry Nouwen was at. It's not that you never have known Jesus, but he has moved to the background of your focus. And what you're focused on is all sorts of issues and struggle and problem. Jesus is going to step forward. He's stepping forward to you right now with, who do you believe me to be? Who do you trust me to be? Henry Nouwen got to the spot where he said, like, I want my life to be about you. And for you right now, you got to ask yourself, like, is your relationship with Jesus the one thing that you're getting right? It's July. This July, 2024, is your relationship with Jesus right? There's a bunch of stuff you can't control, but Jesus is good enough. He is perfect, right? Like, if your relationship with him isn't right, you can't blame it on him, right? Like, he's showing up. So if your relationship with him isn't right, like, you have to make a change. And instead of trying to fix 15 things in your life, like, start with your relationship with Jesus. Am I in love with him? I was just listening to my Sunday school teacher today was talking about, she would do these morning meditations with a little bit of Bible time in it, a little bit of verses, but it wasn't enough. And so she started reading the Bible at night, and it's been really good for her relationship with God to do more. And she had been kidding herself for a while that she was doing enough because she's a busy mom, doing a lot of things, right? But even in the midst of her business, she decided to take a step up with Jesus. She doesn't regret it. And you know, right? Like, I can't tell you if Rixie is right where she needs to be at with God or not, right? But Rixie, if she'll have a conversation with Jesus, she'll know. Like, is she right or not? Like, he'll tell you, right? Same for Mallory, right? Same for every person in the room. So we're going to read this passage. Love this passage. It's in John chapter 7. And we're just going to barely touch on it. We went all the way through John verse by verse. So I'm not going to belabor this passage. But this is John chapter 7. Jesus gets up at this feast that's about God's living water. And Jesus gets up on this big moment when they're doing stuff. The Jews are doing this stuff about God's being the living water. And Jesus gets up in verse 37. John chapter 7 says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. So Jesus didn't whisper this to just his favorite person. Jesus was telling this to anybody that would listen, right? He's yelling it. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Holy Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. What's going on in that passage? Jesus is saying anybody who wants new life can have it. They can have the Holy Spirit is what the Bible kind of, in case we're not catching up, it makes sure that we know this is talking about the Holy Spirit. But if we hear it straight from Jesus' mouth, he describes the Holy Spirit as rivers of living water flowing from within. So I want to talk to us a little bit about this river idea. Yesterday, my son and daughter and a few of our friends went on this hike. This is a place I'd been before, this little nature trail in Lee's Summit. James Reed, I think. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But I've been there a bunch of times before, but I've been there in the fall when it hadn't rained as much, and I'm used to there being like this little creek, but we've been getting a lot of rain, and it sounded like a whole different place as we were walking it, right? You could hear a waterfall. I was like, I don't even know where that's going to be at from what I've seen in the past, right? I hadn't paid enough attention. But this is a picture of Samuel. I took this yesterday. So the creek... Now there was like a discussion with my kids, like, is this a creek or is this a river? And it was kind of a little hard to figure it out with them. I mean, they're seven-year-olds, but there's a lot of white water, and there's a lot of noise. You would hear some of these, I mean, the water, it's Missouri, you know, they weren't like Niagara Falls or something, but there's waterfalls that are like 3 feet, you know, drop type of stuff, where you can hear it, you know, 12-foot wide, 3-foot drop, like, you can hear that from a long ways away when you're walking through the woods, right? You don't not notice the water. When you get anywhere close to that waterfall, the temperature all around that area is cooler because of like the mist effect of that waterfall, right? And when we got to this spot on the trail, my kids, you know, when you're a dad with your kids, you're trying to gauge. Like, when you go into a trail, you got to get back out. And you don't want to hit, like, meltdown mode, right? So you're trying to think, like, are we at 50% before meltdown mode or not? Like, we got to get back out of here. Well, sometimes things don't work out well for you, right? I'd been on this trail before. I thought I knew what I was doing. But when you have a river involved, I had crossed right here. The trail, you can barely see it, but, like, the trail's on the other side of that. But I had, like, hopped on rocks with, like, a creek that was like 3 inches deep or something, right, in the fall. I probably, if I was willing to get wet, could have still got across it. Like, it was only a few feet deep probably in the middle. But it was moving really fast, and there's like no way I'm taking 2 7-year-olds into like fast-moving water that's 12 feet across, right? So we had to turn around and go all the way back like the way we'd come, right? Here's the deal with real rivers. This is like barely probably a real river. But when you're dealing with a river, it's powerful. Like, Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to give you a cup of ice water if you'll come to me. And that way, when you get a little thirsty, you can just sit down and take a break, right? That's not how he describes the Holy Spirit. It's not a convenient comfort when you want it. If I wanted to be involved with this river, like, it was going to be dangerous for me and the people around me. I don't know for sure what was going to happen next if we had got into the river, right? I could come to that creek if thirsty and, you know, less worried about germs and pollution. I could have come right to the edge and gotten a drink. And if I were dying of thirst, like, that would have kept me from dying from thirst, right? If you've never interacted with Jesus before, if you've never said, Jesus, I trust you before, you might be super thirsty today. And if you will be humble enough to kneel down and drink, like, Jesus will start to change you from the inside, right? But if you've taken a lot of little sips of Jesus, but there's never been a time recently where you feel like you're not in control of the outcomes, or where you're totally immersed in something stronger than you, then, like, you're not jumping into what Jesus has for us. Like, it is not just something to sip on, right? Like, Jesus wants rivers inside of us. So assess yourself. I can't do this assessment for you, but pause and think, like, let's go back to that verse. Sorry, one more back to where we were. Verse 38. So this is just part of 38, but it says, Jesus says, if you believe in me, if you trust me, rivers of living water will flow from within you. And when you assess yourself, where are you at on that? Like, do you trust Jesus to where there's like this abundant, powerful, fruitful life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control? Is that stuff coming out of you? Are the acts that Jesus did coming out of you? Not every single one of us is called to heal blind people. Not every single one of us is called to host the way Jesus would host people. Not every single one of us is called to serve exactly how Jesus would serve with that sort of power. All of us are called to express a gift of the Holy Spirit, right? A piece of Jesus. And together, we're called to have the fullness of Jesus. Like, everything Jesus is doing in the New Testament should be happening here. Like, when we're who we're supposed to be. So we can look around and know, like, well, we're not quite there yet, right? There's no insult in that, right? We got a ways to go. I've got a long way to go. But if you look at that and you think, like, I want more of what Jesus has. Too long in the desert, too long trusting other people, too long being afraid, too long being in worry. I want to be confident in God. Well, I've got a couple things to point out to you. First one is for the person here who's never made a decision with Jesus before, who's never said of their own free will, like, I want a relationship with Jesus. I don't want to be the driver of my life anymore. I want Jesus to teach me how to take it. I want to talk you through what to do. And then for folks who are like, I've I've got started with Jesus, but I don't have that river of the Spirit inside of me the way that I want. I've got something for you next, okay? So first, we're gonna go to this, the very first thing out of Jesus' mouth when he was yelling. It's in John 37. He said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." If you will have the humility to say, like, I'm not okay. And if you will have the belief to say, Jesus has what I need, then that's all you got to do to get started. Is say, like, I'm not okay on my own, and I believe Jesus is the source that I need, right? In Christian ease, what we say is you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But what that means is that you come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I can't run my life on my own. Teach me how to live. Like, show me the right next thing to do. Who to spend my time with, how to talk, what to do with my money, what to do with my time, what to do with my body, like all these things, right? And then, Jesus, I've done a lot of terrible stuff that I can't make up for. If you gave me a whole nother lifetime, I would just make more problems. I can't make up for all the bad stuff I've done. Please forgive me. If you're here today and you're like, I want to do that for the first time, like, I'm going to push you to, this is kind of a hard way to do it, but like, I want to push you to stand up and say, like, I need Jesus. I want to start my walk with Jesus. The reason I'm going to have you stand and do it is like, we want to rally somebody around you, but we need to do that together today. So if you stand up, I'm going to connect you with somebody that can walk you through this journey with Jesus. How do you get off to a good start? So if you're here today, we're not going to give a big pause, but if you're here today and you're like, I want to get started with Jesus, I need you to stand up right now so we can get you started. So we've got a man back here, and we've got two guys back here, okay? We got a guy right here. So here's what I need. We've got guys around you that maybe already live with you or somebody. Stay standing for me, please. But you're good? Okay, so what I need is I need three males to stand up, since we've got males that are standing, to say, like, I will walk with this person for the next few weeks and get them going, get them connected with Eddie, and get them connected with the Bible and reading the Bible. So Joseph's already stood up. I need two more guys. So Mike is coming down. Yep, so we got our guys. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Joseph leads our serve team, and if you stood up, whether you're helping or whether you're getting started with Jesus, I want you to talk with Joseph. You guys can go right now out these north doors. There's some grass out there. And you guys get started with Jesus. Joseph, get everybody's name and number. We want to stay in touch with each other. If you're a Maywood guy that stood up, make sure they have a Bible. Get them started reading the Gospel of John and get their phone number. And you want to talk them through how to accept Jesus and how to follow Jesus, okay? So walk out these north doors. Thank you, guys. So I want to lead us in a prayer for them before we go on. Jesus, we don't take for granted the miracles that you do here. And there's nothing in any one of us that can get people to that spot where they're willing to accept you. But Jesus, help us not to fumble. You've given us a really big gift with these three men. I pray your Holy Spirit and your grace would be on us to where we would carry it through, to where they would become mature disciples, people who grow up and obey you, grow up in their faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I told you I had something for you if you were here and you're like, I know Jesus, I don't need to get started, but I need to keep going in the journey with Jesus. So here's a passage. We could do a whole sermon on this passage, but maybe you want to write this one down. This one gets used a lot for evangelism. It gets used a lot to, like, accept Jesus right now, like we just did. But it's not actually written originally as, hey, get started with Jesus. It's written to a group of people that already know Jesus. It's written to a church in Laodicea, or however you want to pronounce that. I pronounce stuff wrong a lot of times. But if you look in Revelation, and I'm going to let you guys out really soon. I know it's 12:01. If you look at Revelation chapter 3, this is Jesus talking to this church. It says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. That's how Jesus describes himself here. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. We could debate a lot about, like, well, what does that mean exactly? I think right away we know, like, we don't want to get spit out of Jesus' mouth, right? We don't want Jesus to be fed up with how lukewarm we are. How, like, we're not being terrible people, but we're not really doing it with Jesus. You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, right? I'm self-sufficient. I don't need to ask anybody for help. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Jesus is saying there, the stuff that you feel good about yourself with, it's not good. And he doesn't just say you need one thing. He gives you, you can meditate on this stuff. He says, here's a few things that you need from me. Invest in me, and I'll give you things that are really good. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. When I was a kid, I remember getting disciplined. And it was only because I needed my parents' love that I stayed in the house, right? Like, I'd get so mad at getting disciplined. I ran away one time. I've got a cute picture I'll have to show you sometime about that. But, like, I needed their love, literally, to where I had nowhere else to go. Jesus is going to put you through stuff so that you grow up to be a mature woman, sister of him, or mature man, brother of him. And the only way you're going to stick with him is if you need him. If you don't need his love, you're not going to stick with him in the hard times. Think about how you spend your day. It says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Jesus' big thing on how to get us from lukewarm to hot is to eat a meal with us, to be invited into our heart. He wants to spend time with us. Do you want to spend time with him? You don't become this great person by doing great things. You become a great person by spending time with Jesus. Jesus will push you to do whatever you need to do if you're spending time with him. To the one who is victorious, I gave the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for wanting to be the heart of our existence. I pray for everybody in this room to know you and open up to you this week. I pray we would be victorious in this life, like you are victorious. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.